G'day, Paddy and Rob Palmer. This is our podcast for Monday, the 29th of November, a very important day today, Robert.
Yeah, well, for the Gosford Hospital.
Oh, no, no, not for them. For the lift being opened at the Morara Station.
Right.
Oh, yes, but it is a bloody important day for Gosford Hospital. We spoke to James Evan about that as well, didn't we?
They've done some amazing things with stroke recovery.
Yeah, in the stroke unit there. As well as that, we did the big announcement too with Sunset Sounds.
Sunset Sounds in Gosford.
Yeah.
They're back. And headlining is the man himself.
Yeah.
Darryl Braithwaite.
Dazzling Darryl Braithwaite. And also, are you worried if people aren't double vaxxed? We look at that this morning. That's our podcast. Oh, Rob, it is so good. Everything's coming back.
Mate, you can feel it in the air that people are getting excited for live gigs.
Yeah, on Friday we spoke to Pete Murray because he's out doing Sunset Sounds and, of course, and he's going to be joined with a whole host of people. And Sunset Sounds, 9th of April, Entertainment Ground here in here in Gosford. You'll hear this song from Darryl Braithwaite. I've been riding love songs since we broke up. Yeah. Yeah, 9th of April next year, the Entertainment Grounds in Gosford. You can hear that, and you can see Darryl Braithwaite. He joins us this morning.
Hey, Darryl.
Oh, good morning.
How are you, buddy?
Very well. Lovely to hear that song. I haven't heard that for a couple of months.
Mate, isn't it good? Things are getting back. We're getting back to normal, Daz.
No, it is. It's my band and all my crew are all so excited that we've... you know, it's looking good for January, February, March and all that. So we're all happy down here in Melbourne.
Yeah, that's it. Finally, you can put your tennis racket away and pick up a guitar.
Well, yeah, that's exactly it. And maybe I can sing a little bit. I've been practicing on my own.
It's really good. Yeah. We spoke with Pete Murray on Friday and he was saying from this year, last year, he's done 7 gigs and that's it. How many?
Yeah, I was about to say we've probably done around the same amount, maybe 4 or 5. And that's it. Did he mention that he was also in the SAS?
Yes, he did. And he's still whinging about his elbow, Daz.
Tore himself a new one.
What a good effort that was, let me tell you.
Would you, Darryl Braithwaite, if Channel 7 come forward and say, you know who we need, Darryl Braithwaite on SAS, would you do it?
I've walked Kokoda many years ago, but I think maybe I might be just on the too high scale of age.
I don't know, Darryl. We need someone from every demographic.
Oh, God. Well, they'd be carrying me out after about a day, I reckon.
Seriously, I look at that stuff and you go, you could pay me $200,000 and I'd say no.
I
couldn't do it. I tell you what, I couldn't do it. I would be absolutely myself. I really would. But he was a brave man, Daz, for doing that, Pete Murray.
Oh, yeah. And just on the same area there, I don't know if you've ever seen or your listeners have ever watched Alone, which is on SBS, where they drop 10 people into the Arctic and they say, okay, go for it. And then they have to try and survive and build tents and get food and they pay them $1 million at the end.
I heard about this.
Is this like Naked and Afraid, but on the SBS?
Okay, next question, Darryl. What about Naked and Afraid?
I've never watched that, but obviously you've watched it quite a lot.
Oh, Daz. And see, they pixelate all the body parts, and I squint the whole episode trying to see if I can see, because they say if you squint...
I have seen that. It's a bit of a weird, the pixelation thing. You think, okay.
But it doesn't work, by the way.
No, not at all.
Would you do Dancing with the Stars, Darryl?
No, don't like that either.
Rob's going to be filthy with you because every interview we have, he brings up because he won it back in 2010. And I know it's 11 years later.
You brought that. Yeah, I wish you wouldn't bring that up all the time, buddy.
but it is so good to see you, Kate Sobrano, Richard Clapton, Wendy Matthews, the Shantuzies. It'd be old school week for you, mate, wouldn't you?
Well, it is. It's sort of... It's that whole demographic there that will appeal to, I guess, an older audience, maybe a younger one as well. But it's just the thing that it brings with it, I guess, a lot of happiness for people, you know, to be able to go and sing along and remember those songs and even the new ones, but just have a good, you know, it's a good time because we've been in hibernation for whatever it is now, a year and a half, 2 years, so... Looking forward to it.
Yeah, the last time you were at the entertainment grounds at Gosford, the crowd went off, Daryl, and I can imagine that it'll be double that this time because they've been begging for live gigs, and here you come.
No, well, we're gonna give it our best go. Let me tell you, because I mean, the thing is, we're looking forward to it as well. I'm speaking on behalf of bands and that, because you haven't had that. Applause or anything, you know, you played maybe songs, but even on the streaming thing, there's nothing, you know, you finish a song, boom, nothing.
And
that simple thing of like you finish a song and people show their appreciation, they liked it, and it drives all of us, I'm sure.
It's a connection between the artist and the crowd.
Most definitely. It's sort of that's the essence of, you know, really playing live and also knowing that you're playing well, but at the end, the reward at the end of that song, when people go, oh, you know, clap and you go, fantastic.
Yeah. Not just clap, mate. They jump and they whoop and they holler and they go absolutely to town.
That's right, and get nude and all that stuff.
A lot.
See, you could be on Naked and Afraid, let me tell you. Daryl Braith, mate. One Day TEDx. It's Sunset Sounds. It's happening local 9th of April next year. Entertainment Grounds, Gosford. We can't wait to see you, Daz. We can't wait to catch up. We will speak to you in the new year. Mate, thanks for taking time out. And we can't wait to hear your tones again, buddy.
Well, thank you very much, both of you, for having us, and look forward to seeing you in the new year.
I work with a flag, right? And I call him Flag. Why do I, Rob, explain to people why I call you Flag.
Because I'm proud.
No, you're not. No. Because your opinions change from one day to the next. You go in and you go, oh, nah, nah, nah. The next day you go, nah, nah, nah. Hang on.
I helped an elderly lady across the road the other day with a grocery, she said, Patty doesn't see this side of you, does he?
Nah.
And here you are with your inadmissible evidence about to go to court.
Right. Now, is Rob Palmer a flag? I just want to play to you. Now, it was this time last week because everyone was talking about Tim Payne and those picks that he sent around. Now, this is what Robert said. This was last Monday.
If you are a role model to, I guess, especially to young kids, should your behaviour, if it's not illegal...
But it's not illegal.
I know it's not illegal. But how do you explain to your 8-year-old who's watching the cricket and the news what's happening to the Australian cricket captain?
Well, between two consenting adults.
No, that's right. I know. But where is the line drawn?
It was all about the kiddies. It was all about the kiddies.
That was just a question.
Yeah, no, it was all about the kiddies.
I was simply at the point of understanding the situation and saying, I wonder what I would say to my kids.
Kiddies. And, go on then. And it's sad if you use an Australian sporting team captain as a role model for the kiddies. And then.
What have we got?
Caroline from Match and Call.
He hasn't done that very well. I know it hasn't broken the law, but just on morals and standards, I think it's pretty low.
I think you're right there, Carolyn. I mean, there's two most important jobs in the country, the Prime Minister of the country and the Australian cricket captain, they say.
Maybe, but I think, you know, anyone who's trying to aspire or bring their kids up to say, yeah, this is what we want you to aspire to be, they really have a big responsibility to do the right thing, not only following the law, but also the moral compass of our society. So I think that's where he really made a mistake.
Well, Carolyn, let he who has not sinned cast the first stone, Mr. Palmer.
Look at him. He'll have
We've
a go at anyone.
We've all made mistakes, Carolyn.
Everyone makes mistakes, Carolyn, exactly but right. I appreciate...
Australian cricket captain. captain.
I appreciate your point of view about a cricket captain needing to be an example of how to behave for the kids who are watching and are idolising it.
There we go. So the moral compass and the kiddies. It's all about the moral compass and the kiddies.
Well, it is important for
Very much so. Okay, it is important.
Yes. Let me finish. Yeah. It is important for a leader to be something of a role model the young members of our community.
Well, okay, that's what you said. That was last Monday. Well,
okay, whatever. How have I flagged away?
Wish you were thinking about this when you spoke about it on Friday.
Here we go. He did the wrong thing by his partner. He's a pork chop for doing it. They settled it between them. They understand each other. And then he's moved on. So has she. And they get to this point. And then I just think that he should never have stood up and resigned. It's uncaptain-like to have stood up and resigned.
So flaggy.
Uncaptain-like to stand up and resign.
Flaggy.
Okay, stop flaggy which way me. I'm saying to you, I understand the point of view that you need a role model that is a good example to the young people of this country.
Yeah.
But you also then have to say, well, he's been put into position by someone else and forced to resign for something that was dealt with a long time ago.
On Monday, you had him hung, drawn, and quartered on Friday. You're saying, why the bloody hell did he resign, Flaggy? Gosford Hospital has achieved World Stroke Organisation Platinum status. To find out more, we have got Dr. James Evan from the Gosford Hospital who joins us this morning. Dr. James, good morning, mate.
James.
Hey, guys. Yeah, hi.
Mate, that's really good news. No problems, mate. That's great news. If it's happening on the Central Coast, we love to look at this, and this is so good for the Gosford Hospital.
Yeah, it's fantastic that Gosford Hospital's been recognised on the world stage for excellence in stroke care. And I guess it's a testament to the very hardworking team that follow the patient all the way through their journey from ambulance arrival through ED, stroke unit, and then on to rehabilitation. Yeah,
it's
a full team effort.
When you look at someone that's had stroke, is there a formula to follow? Is it a very individual process recovering from something like that?
It's very much a formula. So when the patient comes in, there's certain things you need to make sure that they get. They need to have swallow assessment. They need to have physio, occupational therapy, nursing care. And so that's why I'm saying it's a full team effort. It takes sort of everyone playing their role to get the patient through the journey. Very formulaic. And, yeah, it's about making sure everyone gets a good go at it.
Dr. James, across the Central Coast, there were 408 people suffered a stroke last year. What are the ages?
It generally occurs in the older population, but it doesn't discriminate. So we definitely have younger patients that have strokes as well. So, yeah, anyone can have stroke. And I guess, it's important to say that it's an emergency and everyone should really become familiar with the signs of stroke and get themselves into hospital at the first sign of any symptoms in, you know, themselves or someone that they're with. Yeah.
And with stroke, can it vary in severity? And what can you do? Let's say you're living on the Central Coast, you want to do something to reduce your chance of stroke. What would you do? And, you know.
Yeah, so I guess it starts with the risk factors. So blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, smoking, these are the things that you should, you know, in first instance, make sure that they're not in the mix as best as possible. Lead an active and healthy lifestyle. And you asked about, do strokes appear in different ways for different people? Yeah, they definitely do. So, you know, you can have a small stroke or a big stroke. And what we're trying to do when the patients come in is we try and take those that are coming in with a potentially stroke and reverse the damage as much as possible. And we can only do that if the patients come in quickly. So that's what I'm saying. It's just really important to get patients in there really quickly. And, yeah, in ideal circumstances, we can kind of turn it around and have people walking out of the hospital with minimal.
Dr. James, with the Gosford Hospital becoming one of only three in Australia to be recognised with the International Award for meeting the highest standards in treatment and care, does that mean now that more patients will come to the Central Coast to be treated if they do have a stroke?
Not really, because the way it works is if someone has a stroke wherever they are, they get picked up by an ambulance and they go to the closest centre. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's not going to place any additional strain. I guess it's just recognition for the work that the team has been putting in over a long time now. Yeah,
that's really, really, really good news. And well done to you and all the team at the Gosford Hospital for that. And just quickly, Dr. James, before you go, mate, have you got any word? I mean, it was all on the weekend, came across about the Omicron COVID variant. Mate, have you got any word about it? What are you guys saying in the medical fraternity?
I don't have any inside lane.
Nothing.
Yes, we became a successful stroke unit by everyone playing their role, so I'm pretty used to staying in my lane.
Yeah.
I'm sure
you could tell my co-host about that.
I'm sure we'll be able to understand the implications of it.
Time goes on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dr. James Evans.
Congratulations.
Well done, mate.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
When the big issues of the Central Coast need to be discussed, people turn to Paddy and Rob Palmer on 107.7 Triple M. This is The Forum.
Yeah, you want to have a chat?
G'day, Kev from Kingcumber.
How you going, boys?
Yeah, good, mate. What's happening?
Mate, I had an experience on the weekend. I went down to Sydney for a reunion on the train. I was getting on a train full of people, anti-vaxxers. I was the only one on the train with a mask. I'm serious. Mate, I felt so embarrassed. Honestly, I had to get up and walk away because... You know, the crap they were talking about. And I mean, these people, honestly, each of their own. I'm not, but I just think that's disrespectful, mate. So I'm off to have a COVID test today.
Oh, because of...
Because you're in a car train full of people without masks on who obviously not vaccinated. Yeah.
So I just off to have a test. But anyway, I just thought it was a bit uneasy. I was.
Yeah. It's only a small minority, though. That's the thing. Very, very.
Yeah, mate, there was a train full of them. Mate, I got on a Gosford, five carriages, and, mate, it was jammed.
Oh, true.
Were there protests on the weekend? I don't know.
In mate, Melbourne.
They had signs in their hands, and, you know, they're going protesting somewhere. So I was looking for you, Rob, but I couldn't see you.
Oh, yes.
You're in Melbourne.
Steady on, brother.
No, I just think it's disrespect. Anyway, that's only my point
of
view.
All right, mate, no. Okay, this morning with the Forum, does it worry you that people aren't vaccinated? What are your thoughts, Robin?
Well, you know what it is, I think? Mm. You got this new variant that's popped out of Africa, and it's not so much the
Omicron.
Small... Omicron. Sounds like a game.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, there's a small amount of anti-vaxxers in Australia that are doing what they will do, and that's less than 5%. Well, less than 5% of the population, you would imagine.
Mm.
But over in Africa, people can't get vaccinated in a lot of cases. And that's where I think these, and this is it, using all my medical background, which is zero, but that surely these variants are coming out of the fact that so many people are unvaccinated that the virus is spreading and changing, and then it comes out with a new thing that's harder to beat. So I don't know. I feel pity for anti-vaxxers. And, you know, because you're either an anti-vaxxer because you can't get done, I feel sorry for that, or you're an anti-vaxxer because you believe it's a contamination
question,
of your body.
The question,
and I feel sorry for that.
Doesn't worry. It doesn't worry me. If you've been vaccinated, it doesn't worry me. Because if what the health system says, we're okay. If you've been double vaccinated, it doesn't worry me whatsoever.
You know what? It doesn't worry me in the short term, but in the long term, it worries me because if you're not vaccinated and the virus is able to use you as a petri dish to create more... sinister viruses, then you are doing a disservice to everyone.
Doesn't worry. We had Kev. He just gave us a call from Kincum. He said he hopped on with a train load of anti-vaxxers on the weekend. But does it worry?
All of their signs.
All of their signs. Yeah.
That's how you know.
Carrying a sign.
Yeah.
We got Mark from Springfield. G'day, Marky.
G'day, Mark.
G'day, boys. You're standing very chirpy this morning.
Standing what?
Very chirpy.
Oh, truly?
Oh, that's nice. Because we're in separate rooms.
Yeah. Rob's in Melbourne. I'm here. That's why. Hey, mate, does it worry you? Honestly, does it worry you if someone isn't vaxxed?
Mate, my daughter and son-in-law aren't vaxxed. I went down there a week ago to see my grandsons and has caused a few disagreements over the last 3 months. We've decided now not to discuss it.
Yeah.
Because it can cause big problems in all families, relationships. I was a little bit worried. She lives in country New South Wales, but when it comes to family, mate, you're just going to do what you got to do. But it does worry me for them not to be vaxxed, and it's their choice. I've got to just stick by my views, and they can have their views, and I just want to have a relationship with my daughter and my grandsons.
Yeah, mate, it's funny. Yeah. It's like religion and politics now. Vaccinations really divide.
Mate, it has, and my son-in-law's hanging on to his, he works in the transport industry. He's the only guy there that's not, but it's not mandated, but I feel sorry for him because he's got a mortgage and two beautiful kids, and it's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Geez, so as soon as someone says you've got to be vaxxed to keep your job, would he then get a vax, do you think? Or is he going to stand by his belief not to get vaxxed?
Mate, I asked him that question a week ago. He said, well, if I have to do it, I'm going to have to do it, because what's he going to go and do, pick fruit in 40-degree heat to feed his family?
Yeah.
Is there a chance that if he does get vaxxed, then your daughter's going to come across and say, oh, well, you're done, I may as well do it myself, you know?
Mate, she's prepared to go and live in Nimbin and in a tent if she had to with the boys. It's really hard, because it's put a big divide between us.
Yeah.
But we've mended that. We just don't talk about it. And I've got a great relationship with her and the grandsons, but it does divide family, friends, workplaces.
Yes, mate. Yeah, it very does. Troy from Gosford as well. G'day, Troysy.
Troy, how are you?
Yeah, morning, boys. How are we?
Yeah, not too bad. Does it worry you, mate? If someone's on vax, double vax, does it worry you?
Well, yeah, it does, you know, because you've really got to do it, especially with this new variant coming out.
Are you worried for them, or are you worried for yourself? What's the worry? Because if you're vaccinated, you're protected, aren't you?
Well, Rob, you know, I'm worried for everyone at the moment. Look at the two lockdowns we've had, and lockdown two crippled a lot of business and a lot of economy.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
And if we have lockdown three, I reckon businesses won't be around to survive.
Yeah, mate, more details will come to hand today and out this week.
It's not the thing we want, and we've just got to do every precaution we can.
But we're doing well. What about the 94?
You know what? 94? There's a new variant of the flu every year, just about. Like it's going to change and change and keep coming. I think, I don't know, vaccination's our best defence. But
yeah, well, it is. And people are talking about ditching masks already, and a lot of people are not even wearing them, and I'm thinking, you're crazy. You've got to have every defence you can right now.
Yeah, things might change, mate.
Things could change in a nanosecond, literally.
Hey, what's cracking in Terrigal?
Well, look, there's I love development, as in I love progress. Yeah. Development sometimes is a bit wrong, but progress is good. Mm-hmm. They're having a boarding house there in Terrigal.
Yeah.
It's going to have 10 rooms, 13 boarders, 5 car parking spaces. And I say, go for it. But you know what? There's been a dozen submissions of objection. Of course there has.
Because
if you live next door to a proposed boarding house, you think, oh, here we go. I'm going to lose my parking spot, for one, out the front of my house because someone else will park there. Who knows? Someone might, you know, spit on the sidewalk. Could be a problem.
Someone might talk.
Well, they've said that they're concerned about antisocial behaviour.
Yeah.
Decrease in privacy.
As you said, wait till we move in, hey?
Yeah, that's right. Jeez, I said, Paddy hasn't got there yet.
Yeah, you want antisocial behaviour.
Noise pollution.
And how parking, big is this? How big is this joint?
Traffic congestion. It's only housing 15, 13 people.
Oh, we have that. We have that on a Saturday night now.
That's right.
That's in the first edition.
It could be so much worse. But I think that there's just the not complaining in the right way, because everyone who's ever complained about a boarding house has said the exact same thing, and they get put up, and then all of a sudden everyone goes, "Oh, that's not too bad."
Yeah.
Like most of the time,
yeah.
If you're going to complain, you need to complain in a different manner, I'd reckon. Like submit something saying that, you know, you garden naked.
Yeah,
I would not want to develop a boarding house next door to you if I knew that you were going to be out in the backyard
to the naked gardener,
naked whipper snipping.
Only if Al, my neighbour, knew before I moved in. I was
going to ring Al to ask him for some possible complaints that may be relevant, like the dog pooing in his front yard.
Yeah,
you just say, look, this.
Sorry about that.
Where you're building this boarding house? That's where I take my dog to go in the morning.
Yeah.
Naked, or, you know, or I steal power from the neighbours, and how am I going to steal power if you develop a boarding house?
That was only once, and the cord's still there, might I add, the extension cord into Al's power box. Yeah. But he doesn't know that because I've dug it under the ground.
Yeah. Dug it in and conduited it out.
Yeah, and I can't help.
He'd have no idea.
If his Wi-Fi comes into Callum's room and we all sit up there and watch Netflix, I can't help that.
Jeez, not tell your you problem.
What. Exactly.
So look, I think if you're worried about living next door to a boarding house in Terrigal, you've got far worse problems than if you were living next door to Gerard Ferrara. You know what, Paddy?
I know.
For friends of Triple M and family to bulk up the numbers, download the Listener app.
We're talking LISTNR.
Yep. And if you favourite breakfast with Paddy and Rob Palmer.
You are legends.
Well, yeah, that's very good of you. And you can listen anytime you like.